We find ourselves in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, looking at what we know traditionally as the wise men. I titled the message, Wise Men Still Seek Jesus. Maybe you've heard that phrase before, wise men still seek Jesus, and truly that's what it is. Christmas is all about, is coming and worshiping Jesus Christ as he's come into this world. And last night we looked at a few words. One of the words was the word Jesus, the names of Jesus, the names, I should say, of the Messiah, Christ. One of them was Jesus, which means Savior. He's the Savior of the world. That's the purpose he came. The other one at the end of Matthew chapter 1 is Emmanuel, which is God with us, that he came to reveal God to us. Well, the story continues, but a lot of times we don't realize there's a big lapse between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Let's just read the first two verses to kick us off here this morning. Now, after Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1, if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the seat in front of you. Encourage you to grab that. Turn to the first book of the New Testament. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Would you pray with me? Father, we just ask that you would open your word as we just take a minute here, Lord, and just settle our hearts and focus in. Thank you for the beautiful, Lord, music that we've heard this morning, the praise that has been given your name. And now, God, as we open your word, we pray that our lives, God, would be changed forever. Lord, open our hearts to your precious gospel, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The first point that we would like to look at this morning, just kind of broke down this passage. We're going to look at the first 12 verses here. In verses 1 and 2, we titled it, Seeking Jesus for the Right Reason. You see, these wise men come on the scene possibly, definitely over a year later, closer maybe to 2 years. We know that because of how Herod determines the time that the star first appeared to them, which would be the time when Jesus was born, and it was 2 years that he determined from that later on in the story. We won't cover that this morning. That's why you'll notice in our manger scene here, we have the manger scene. And then we have the wise men, and the wise men are over here. You see, the wise men are coming from afar. I'm very literal, even in our decorations. I always am like telling the ladies, make sure you don't put the wise men at the manger, because they weren't. They weren't there. They didn't come and offer Jesus gifts when he was in the stable there in Bethlehem. And we learn that here. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem. They come there to do what? They come to worship Jesus. The picture of the wise men is amazing because these aren't Jews. These aren't followers of God. These are actually pagan astrologists. They are those that believe in many gods. They literally study the stars. They worship all kinds of different gods. And the Lord shows them through what they're familiar with, through what means something to them, which is the stars. He shows them this star. And this miraculous, no doubt, star comes and begins to show them the way to Jerusalem. They come all the way from the east. We would call it today, the Middle East or the Far East, as they're making their way to Jerusalem. They come there not believing in God, not believing in it, certainly Yahweh, the one and only true God, but they come there for the right reason. They come there to worship Jesus. You know, the beauty is that God will receive any of us. If we come for the right reason, which is simply, as it says in the end of verse 2, that they came to worship him. They came with hearts just saying, we're following this star, we're following this sign, and we've come to worship Jesus Christ. Of course, Matthew's theme of his gospel is that the gospel, the message of what we would call the message of Christmas, the message of the life of Jesus, the message of Easter, the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for all men. In fact, Matthew is the one that ends his gospel with, you know, Jesus risen from the dead, and right before he ascends into heaven, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them and saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is like the conclusion of the ministry of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of, note this, all nations. This is who the message is for. The message is for all people, for all nations. We know that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a verse that is the most famous Bible verse of all time. But as you read on, John 3:17 goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is already, or is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, it's important for us to realize that Jesus didn't come to the earth to condemn, but he came to save. Even these kinds of pagans that are far out there, Jesus came to save all people, all men. Listen, man is already condemned. It's not a matter of, is man condemned? Man is condemned by his sin. Jesus came to save us from that condemnation. In fact, Jesus came to take that condemnation, that judgment on the cross, that he might save us and take it on himself. It goes on in John 3, verse 19. It says, for this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen that they've been done in God. Well, what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift of all. When I think of Christmas and I think of a gift, the greatest gift that could ever be given is the gift of God's love. And that love is manifested in him giving the most important thing to him. You know, if we give out gifts today and they cost us nothing, and it was something, you know, we just quickly, you know, went and ordered online and, you know, just so here it is. And, you know, it's very different than something that costs us everything, something that means everything to us. Of course, as you think of your own child, there's no greater gift that could be given, and Jesus Christ is that gift from the Father. It is the declaration, the demonstration, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrates his own love towards us, verse 9 there, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the demonstration, declaration of God's incredible love. God loves mankind. God loves people even like these magis from the east. God loves everyone. And this is the message of Christmas. And right here in the very beginning of the gospel, the very beginning of the story surrounding the birth of Jesus, you have these pagans coming to worship. It's a foreshadowing of what's to come. It's a foreshadowing of what the Lord is wanting to do to save all men. Of course, that conclusion there at the end of Matthew, go now and declare this and preach this. And for those of us that are believers here this morning, let us do that. Let us declare the love of God. Let us declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to our friends and our families, to our neighbors, to our community, to our society. This is the message of Christmas. This is the beauty of what it means to follow Jesus. So they came to seek Jesus for the right reason. And we'll pick that up again here at the end of the story. But as the story then goes on, there's another character that comes up here, and his name is Herod. And Herod, he sought Jesus, but he sought Jesus for the wrong reason. Verses 3 through 8, we titled, Seeking Jesus for the Wrong Reason. You know you can do that. You know you can come to church. You know you can come to God. You can cry out, you know, wherever you might be. Maybe you're just there in your car or in your bed laying there at night. You can't sleep and you start talking to God. You're seeking Jesus. You want to be maybe a part of even a Christian community, a Christian, you know, kind of, you know, a club or, you know, maybe with the kids, you know, you're getting them in some kind of a, you know, some co-op thing, some homeschool thing, something like that, where you're bringing them and you're like, I want to do it to those that love Jesus. So I want to be around those that love Jesus. And there's a sense in our lives that maybe we're seeking Jesus. But are we seeking Jesus for the right reason? You see, Herod sought Jesus. Look at verse 3. It says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, Herod was quite an interesting person. Very evil man he is. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So Herod, from the surface, looks like he cares about Jesus. He calls who? It's like today going to the church. It'd be like going to the pastoral staff and saying, hey, I'm here to inquire about this Jesus. So he goes to the priests there. He goes to the scribes, and he asks them, what does the scripture say? So it'd be like someone coming up and saying, I have a question about the Bible. Now that seems like someone genuinely seeking the Lord. Of course, when someone comes up, an unbeliever comes up, I have some questions about the Bible. I want to inquire about Jesus. I want to inquire about what the Bible says about him. And that gets me excited. Of course, because I love to share with people the message that can change their life. And so that's here what Herod seemingly is doing. So they said to him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. Kind of like, let's open up the scrolls, you know, in their time. Or for us, let's open up the Bible or you know, click on the Bible app in your phone, you know. And it says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least of the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. So Herod's inquiring. Herod has false motives. Herod is threatened by Jesus. Herod doesn't like the idea of another king there, the king that's promised in the Holy Scriptures is going to rise up. And so Herod is coming and he's seeking Jesus, but he's seeking to find out more about Jesus so that he can destroy Jesus, so that he can fulfill his vision, so he can fulfill his plan. And how important it is for us to understand this and see this. Notice what it says. It says in verse 7, then Herod, when he had determined, or when he had secretly called the wise men. So he goes, you know, this is takes some time. He's going to go. He's going to research this with the religious leaders. He comes back. He secretly calls a meeting with these wise men, determining from them what time the star appeared. Now, if you jump down to verse 16, you will note, for you Bible students, you will note that Herod determined it was about 2 years. So again, this idea that the wise men came at the manger scene is just not found in the Bible. Of course, that's more of our traditions. But it was a year, 2 years later. I mean, think about this, which kind of preps us for thinking about how they came to seek Jesus. So they come, or Herod, calls them, he finds us out, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said to them. So it's kind of like if you were the wise men, of course, knowing nothing about, Judaism, nothing about the religion of the Jews, and you come here to this land, you meet the king, and the king says, I've researched this with our religious, scholars here today, and they say it's going to be in Bethlehem. You know, you're thinking, okay, great. Everyone's wanting to seek Jesus. And so he said, go and search diligently for the young child. Notice he's not called the babe anymore. He's a young child. And when they had found him, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him. Herod comes off as someone that genuinely wants to worship the Lord. And he is seeking Jesus. But Herod is seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons. Herod's worship of Jesus is not a sincere worship of Jesus. It is a selfish worship. He's motivated for his own gain. And I think about this, it's sometimes easy for us to seek Jesus for the wrong reasons, to come to Jesus for our own purposes. There are many people today that come to church. They decide, we're going to get involved in church when they start having kids, a young couple, they start having kids and they start realizing, we want to raise our kids in a better environment. Let's go to church. Is that a good thing? Yes, it's good to raise your kids in church. I would encourage every one of us to raise our families in a community of the body of Christ. There's no greater place. I know for my wife and I, we were blessed to be able to do that, and we are blessed to have amazing children. And of course, they're adults now, and it's a joy. It's a blessing, but that can't be the reason that we come to Jesus. I don't come to Jesus for someone else. I don't come to Jesus for a better family, for a better life. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to go to Jesus hoping he'll bless my, career. He'll bless my business. I'm going to come to Jesus. There's all kinds of different motives. I'm going to just come to Jesus. I just want him to bless my life. If I go to church, maybe if I even give some money, and if I serve a little bit in church, then Jesus will bless me. These are all the wrong reasons to come to Jesus, and it never will work because you never actually come to Jesus. You're coming on your terms. You're coming for your reason. But what we see here with these wise men, picking it up in verse 9 there, the third thing, seeking Jesus in true worship. That's what they did. They sought Jesus in true worship. Let's look at that. Together, verse 9, when they had heard that the king, they departed, and behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them. So the star reappears, and it goes before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, notice he's no longer in a stable, he's now in a house. They come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasury, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The wise men traveled far and wide. This was no quick little journey. This was months and months of traveling, caravanning across the desert. coming to seek after Jesus. They came with gifts. They had a treasury, like a treasure chest. You know, they opened it up. They had very valuable things in that economy, frankincense and myrrh, and they presented gifts to Jesus. And when you think about today, as we give gifts, and I'm sure some of us have already received gifts by this time, and as we give gifts and receive gifts, it's kind of like this is where we get that they gave. The true worshipers gave gifts to Jesus. And it is such a powerful, powerful truth when you think about this, because these men represent to us what it means to truly worship Jesus. They didn't come to get something from Jesus. They came to give something. And just in just a quick time we've had here in the Word this morning, I just want us to think about that. I want us to ponder that today. Are you coming to Jesus to get something from Him? Or are you coming to Jesus to give Him the worship, to give Him your life as He is worthy of? Why is it? What is my motive? And again, you can be saved, loving the Lord, walking with God, but many times we'll find that we'll mistakenly come to Jesus for the wrong reasons, for my will, for what I want. The Apostle Paul, as he lays out the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Romans, he comes to the point of, here's now how you can respond to the gospel. The incredible grace of God, the incredible love of God, the salvation that is ours only because of what Jesus Christ has done. Nothing that we can do. We can't add to it. We can't be saved by, you know, giving them gifts or, coming and doing certain works or, you know, God's going to bless me if I, you know, tithe, or God's going to bless me if I, go to church and do this. But simply I'm coming for no other reason than to worship Him because He is worthy. I'm surrendering my life. See, Paul brings us to this point, and in Romans chapter 12, he says this in verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, based on the gospel, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present. I want us to think about presenting gifts. What do we present to Jesus? The wise men presented frankincense and myrrh and gifts. What do we present? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to present our lives to present ourselves. I want to leave you with one of the stories out of the gospel. It's a story of one of Jesus' most faithful disciples. His name was the Apostle Peter, as we know him. And in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew records it. In verse 22, after Jesus has said to his disciples that he's going to the cross, in verse 22 through 26, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. See, what Jesus said to Peter, Peter didn't like. No, this isn't the plan, Lord. The plan isn't that you're going to die. We left everything to follow you. You're going to overthrow the Romans, and we're going to reign with you. We're going to finally get Israel back. They were all good things Peter wanted, but Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, and say, far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And I want us to ask ourselves this Christmas, I want us to think about presenting ourselves to the Lord, coming to Him. And what is it that we want to get from Him? Are we coming just to give? Lord, my life is yours. You redeemed me. You bought me. You love me. You paid the price. And I want to be a true worshiper. I want to come and just, for no reason, I'm not going to get anything. Think of these wise men. I mean, they come to a baby. What are you going to get from a baby? They just come to honor. They come to praise. They come to to give him the praise due his name. How many of us are mindful of the things of man and not the things of God? How many of us, even as Christians, followers of Jesus, loving the Lord, how many of us are thinking about, what can I get? Lord, how can you help me? And there's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord and asking him. I mean, he wants to bless our lives, but our motive must be, Lord, here I am. Whatever you do, however it works out, I pray that you would be glorified. That your, notice what he says here, that my life would prove to the world, my life would be a witness to the world, what is your perfect, acceptable will. And this is our hearts, this is our lives. And of course, Jesus goes on in verse 24, and he says to his disciples, based on this conversation, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul? And how do we respond to the gospel today? And my prayer, our prayer for you today, for those of us that are followers of Jesus, is that we would go into this next year. Of course, it's right around the corner, right? That we'd go into this next year saying, Lord, I want my life to be spent for you. It's not about me. It's not about me gaining. What if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? Help me to be a giver. Help me to be a servant of you, Lord. Help me to be a lover of you, a worshiper of you, coming to you, not for my gain, but for your gain, living my life in that light. And if you're here today with us and you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know in your heart, I'm not a believer. I'm just, you know, I'm here, but I'm not committed to Jesus. I'm not seeking the Lord. We want to invite you. Jesus wants to invite you. I mean, the whole purpose. Listen, the reality is this, as we read in John 3, you're already condemned. Your sin, my sin, it condemns us. The only way that anyone's going to get to heaven is to be forgiven of their sin. It's the age-old question, what are you going to do with your sin? What are you going to do with it? You can't forgive yourself. You can't work it off. Your good will never outweigh your bad. It doesn't work that way. If you've sinned in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing, the scripture says. There's no way out. Jesus came because he loves you. He came to take your place. He was the perfect sacrifice. He's the only one that could do it because he's God and he's perfect. And he did it for you. But you have to receive him. It would be like today you go to the doctor and you're terminally ill. And the doctor says to you, I've got the cure. It's right here. It's this pill right here. All you got is take one pill and you're cured. You have to decide to take it. Listen, you're dying. The fact is you're terminally ill. You're dying. If you take this pill right now, you can be healed. That's the gospel. There's only one way to be healed. You go home and say, no, I'm going to take a different pill. I think I'll take some ibuprofen. Okay, the ibuprofen won't save you. You can't do it your way. You have to do it God's way. You have to take the medicine, the healing. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is the only way to the Father. He's the only way to God, and he's made that way. But you have to choose to take it. You have to put your faith in him. Turn from your sins. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. We pray today. I mean, what better? Christmas Day. When did you get saved? I got saved on Christmas Day. When Jesus was born, I was born again. The Bible says that a man must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. We pray that today that you would be born again. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to invite up the worship team, and we're going to close, right, Joel, with a song. And as we do, I just want you to just, bow your heads with me, and I want you to just open your heart and just examine yourself. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. God, in our lives. And we ask, God, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Father, as believers today, help us to learn from Peter's mistakes. He had an agenda. He had a will. He thought it was right. He thought he was helping Jesus. But the reality was he was mindful of the things of himself and not of the things of you. Help us to surrender. Stop telling you what you need to do and start following you, picking up our cross, following you, going to places that we might not choose on our own, but you've called us to. And Father, for anyone here today that hasn't yet put their faith in Jesus Christ, that hasn't put their faith in him as Lord, their Savior, we pray that you would right now, by your Holy Spirit, gently but firmly, that you would open their hearts to the gospel, that they would see their great need for you, they would turn from their sins, and they would come and follow after you. We thank you, God, and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.